The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine and BlackEnterprise.com. The first article is from BlackEnterprise.com, and the article is titled, Fisk University Gymnast Morgan Price Named First Ever National Champion from an HBCU. HBCU, her story has been made. Representing Fisk University, Morgan Price is now USA Gymnastics' first all-around national champion from an HBCU. Price emerged as a national champion at the USAG's competition on April 12th. She joined Fisk Gymnastics team 2 years ago, the first ever program established at an HBCU. The Tennessee School's athletic program shared the barrier-breaking news on Instagram. Price scored above 9.8 on her floor exercise, balance beams, uneven bars, and vault. For her performances at the events, she received 39.225 in total. Her high achievement cemented her status as a national champion. While Black women from Dominique Dawes to Simone Biles have dominated gymnastics before Price, her inclusion sheds light on HBCUs taking part in the sport. Talladega College is the only other HBCU that hosts a gymnastics program. However, Wilberforce University in Ohio will soon be the third to join the ranks. To get their programs off the ground, all three institutions partnered with Brown Girls Do Gymnastics to help aspiring Black gymnasts fulfill their journeys at HBCUs. Through this HBCU Gymnastics Alliance, more schools are working towards establishing their own teams for students. Fisk, which started their program in 2022, shared that this mission will help diversify women's gymnastics at a collegiate level. We could not be more excited to launch the first HBCU intercollegiate women's artistic gymnastics team, explained the school's then president, Dr. Van Newkirk. Fisk University has always been an educational leader, and this women's gymnastics program will embody all the qualities that define the Fisk experience: excellence, determination, and a commitment to a better tomorrow. In the meantime, Price's road to nationals is not over yet. On April 14th, she will continue performing in individual events for the vault, bars, and floor. She will be able to receive even more medals to add to her latest accolade. The next article is titled, Beyond Beauty, Team Members Behind the Boundary Pushing Skincare Brand Topicals Share the Secret of Their Success. Often our struggles illuminate our calling. This was certainly the case for Olamide Oloi, the founder of Topicals, a game-changing beauty brand offering products for flare-up prone skin. Growing up, Oloi faced a wide range of skin concerns, including acne, dark spots, and boils. Every skin condition one could have, I probably dealt with, she says. Oloi got her start in entrepreneurship while working with Shea Moisture in 2015 when she was attending UCLA. Being a Black woman and rarely seeing yourself represented was already enough, and having these skin conditions made me feel even more alienated, she recalls, but she found the silver lining, the inspiration to launch a skincare brand, which she did in 2020. Since releasing their first products, like Butter, a moisturizer for eczema-prone skin, and Faded, a serum that targets dark spots and discoloration, the team has made it their mission not only to create quality products for a range of skin types, but also to remind customers that they are seen and included in the beauty industry. You sense this ethos as soon as you look at the vibrant packaging, their baby blue high roller ingrown tonic, the bubblegum pink hue wrapped around the Faded mist. Additionally, it's present in how they give back to underserved communities, donating a portion of their proceeds to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, or making therapy more accessible through their Topicals Mental Health Fund. And one can't forget the inventive product rollouts and campaigns that keep fans on their toes. Last year, for example, they partnered with Tiana Taylor on a sultry chic shoot that highlighted the artist's very own edit of Topicals faves, including Slather Like Butter Mist and Faded Eye Patches. More recently, as part of their relaunch of Minty Fresh Lip Balm Slick Salve, they released a short film, a concept created by former collaborator Sanam Sindhi, starring musical artists Ian Isaiah and Rico Nasty. She came up with this idea of a lip balm being so good you and your friends would plan a heist just to steal it. Olowi explains, "We love to allow our community to use us as a platform to tell the stories that they want to see. And if it feels like Topicals is a brand that, as Olowi says, exists outside of the bathroom and in the center of culture, it's because she intentionally designed it this way. I was always inspired by streetwear culture," she explains, naming brands like Supreme and Pastry as her favorites when she was growing up in El Paso, Texas. "I wanted to use a lot of what I had experienced and learned about the streetwear movement and bring that into skin care." The brand also celebrated the diaspora with goodwill gestures like inviting POC influencers on outings to destinations such as Bermuda for the company's third birthday. Additionally, the brand recently took influencers to Ghana for Dedi December, where Topicals guests were spotted wearing the viral Faded Eye mask on night out. "When we were in Bermuda, we were talking about how well the trip went, even though we were really just winging it, but we wanted to keep the ball rolling," says the brand's influencer marketing and partnerships senior associate Amani Moss. "Olamide and I looked at each other and we immediately said, 'Dedi December in Ghana.' I knew when she said that we were for sure going to do it, because when Olamide says something and puts her mind to it, it's going to happen. As a Black-owned business, we should believe that we can do things like take brand trips, raise money, or be the fastest growing skincare brand at a major retailer." Olowi says, "We have to be intentional about how we think about who we can be. Black and brown content creators should be able to go on a brand trip for the sake of relaxation too. We have people telling us that they had never been out of the country. These are all experiences that I believe should be more accessible to any marginalized group. Although Olowi never expected topicals to become so successful so quickly, it won an Allure Beauty Award last year, landed on Sephora shelves, and raised $10 million in Series A funding in 2022. She can credit the success to two major attitudes. I believe in excellence, and I believe that whatever it is that I do or we do as a company should impact the people that we serve, she says. I think I truly understood who I was and what I was meant to do on this earth. None of it would be possible, of course, without the help of a dynamic and forward-thinking team. They are all creatively cool and don't necessarily come from a beauty background, Olowi says. I think true innovation comes from connecting to disparate ideas. Simi Olowi, Olamide's sister and Topicals event coordinator, adds, "We are creating a space where many things intersect, and it's really great to see our community reflect that." Jade Montgomery, the brand's creative project manager, echoes this sentiment. "Being in a room where we give space for everybody to create their own way is really magical." For Alyssa Ackerman, the social content manager, what makes Topicals so successful is that the employees are their own consumers. That's what enables us to make the best products and to tell the best stories for the customers, she says. More than anything else, the brand's magical vibe immediately lets you know that Black women are behind it, Moss adds, "and I always wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. This was my answered prayer." If it's not already obvious, this is only the beginning for the incredible company. Up next, you can expect more brand trips, more products, and for us to give back more too, Olowi says. Regardless of what they do, though, Topicals' secret sauce is that you're always bound to love them for something. If it's not our product portfolio, maybe you like us because of our branding or for our mental health give back program or simply because we are Black owned, the founder reflects. Either way, I just want us to be a space where you don't even have to necessarily purchase something to feel included in the Topicals community. The next article is titled Sacred Spaces. This author, plant expert, and interior botanical designer created a home that nourishes his glorious green girls, all 200 of them. Christopher Griffin is a self-described plant queen, a Black queer non-binary person living their truth and adoring their plants, one pot, stem, and leaf at a time. Petite in stature, but bright and bold in style, Griffin, 35, is a source of light, inspiration, and education for their 476,000 Instagram followers. Their platform, Plant Queen, is a treasure trove, propagation tutorials, nature tours, and celebrity interviews. But it's the reaffirming video vignettes delivered in vintage gowns and patterned two-piece sets that establish holistic wellness as Griffin's true calling, not just fashion or just plants. Horticulture and couture are connected byproducts of a lifestyle rooted in rituals and wisdom passed down from the matriarchs in Griffin's bloodline. Their late mother, Katrina Griffin, was the flower queen, and her mother, Andrea Griffin, was the OG plant queen. Griffin didn't stumble into this space by accident. Caring for plants and honoring their relationship with nature is ancestral. We are basically houseplants with complex emotions, they tell me, on a call from their cozy abode in Brooklyn's Crown Heights neighborhood. Griffin has just returned from a weekend getaway to Storm King Art Center, an open-air garden museum in upstate New York that features the largest collection of contemporary outdoor sculptures in the country. Immersing yourself in beautiful living things is therapeutic, they continue. There's a lot we can learn from connecting with nature. When Griffin was a child, their grandmother, Andrelle, a certified nursing assistant raised on a farm in rural Georgia, introduced the curious youngster to lush green spaces across Philadelphia, the city where they were born and raised. I was so immersed and fully present. They recall of the gardens, planetariums, parks, and greenhouses they visited with the OG plant queen. She just let my imagination wander. When Griffin moved into their first sunny Brooklyn apartment back in 2016, their plant journey officially began with a struggling marble queen pothos and an earnest interest in how to care for and ultimately restore it. The nature nerd and author of You Grow Girl, Plant Queen's Lush Guide to Growing Your Garden, began documenting their experience and sharing it with the world. What we do for our plants is also inherently good for our own bodies, they say. I talk to my plants, especially when they're growing. It's kind of like a mirror. I've also learned through this journey of taking care of plants that my body reacts to sunlight in a very positive way. I knew that with habits and behaviors I wanted to practice, I needed to nest that had a lot of sunlight. So they moved to an even sunnier 700 square foot space with 5 south-facing windows and a room dedicated specifically to plants. Inside the narrow nook, terracotta pots are artfully arranged and stacked on shelves against the walls, along the radiator, and even on the window sill. A mauve Moroccan runner from Ruggable brings warmth to the area, while a quirky stool from Iva and Avery captures the essence of Griffin's personality. Interlacing stems descend from the ceiling, cascading and flowing the way they would in their natural environment. Griffin skillfully uses plants as decor, always placing the organism's needs before the outcome that they're trying to achieve aesthetically. The trick is to get them to think that they're living in a lush little jungle where the temperature and humidity is always the same, they advise. When folks bring nature into their home, I encourage them to lean into curiosity. There needs to be a willingness to learn not only about the care of the plant, but also where it came from and how it came to be a little houseplant in your space. At first, when designing their apartment, Griffin's focus was on solely the plants. The goal was to be a maximalist when it came to curating nature indoors and a minimalist with furniture, art, and traditional decor. But that intention has changed. Oh my goodness, they belt out in a theatrical tone. When queried about their current approach to creating a self-reflective space, I think I'm in a place where I am finally allowing my aesthetic to grow and evolve. I'm a dramatic queen. I just want maximalist everything. Elevated ebullience explodes in their bedroom. Gradient polka dot wallpaper accents the canvas behind their bed, but it's a tasseled jewel-toned vintage fan that steals the show on that wall. A brighter shade of blue colors the surrounding walls, thrifted blue and orange nightstands, a round area rug from IKEA, and knotted sheer curtains from Target contribute to the overall cheerfulness of the space. I had the opportunity to create a room inspired by Christopher John Rogers' fashion sense, Griffin says. He's one of my favorite Black queer designers. Overall, Griffin is in a place where they are trying to be more playful with colors while matching their love of prints, patterns, silhouettes, and shapes with their design approach. Nothing is here for show. Everything has purpose and a story, they say. That's the evolution I'm going through right now. I want to translate my love for fashion, nature, vintage, thrifting, and Black people into home. And I think it's something that's really beautiful and profound. The snake plant. While these queens can be quite adaptable to a myriad of lighting situations, I find that they thrive in bright ambient light with some direct sun. You do not have to water this plant often. Every 2 weeks in the warmer months and every 3 to 4 weeks during the colder months. The pothos ivy is a tropical queen that is near and dear to my heart. These climbing vines enjoy bright ambient light that can survive in lower light conditions as well. Watering this plant is pretty easy, once a week during the warmer months and every 2 weeks in colder months. The ZZ plant. These store water, which is why they do well during droughts and in the houses of plant parents on the go who occasionally forget to water their green girl. The next article is titled Power from the Pulpit. Reverend Kiana Jones fights for the oppressed from her native East Atlanta to Palestine. Reverend Kiana Jones is an East Atlanta native, an ordained minister, an interfaith leader, a wife, and a mother. She is also a social justice activist and a community organizer at the forefront of Atlanta's movement against the city's plans to construct a multi-million dollar public safety training facility referred to as Cop City. Through preaching from the pulpit, protesting throughout her hometown, and speaking to the United Nations Human Rights Committee in Geneva, Switzerland, Reverend Jones has become a crucial voice in the pursuit of liberation. She also serves as a reminder of just how interconnected our collective freedom is. Jones, who is the active pastor in residence at Park Avenue Baptist Church and a member of Community Movement Builders, has created a life rooted in service. After moving to New Jersey at around age 20 and living there for about 20 years, she returned to Atlanta to be with family. While in New Jersey, she began her work as an activist, specifically in child care and education advocacy, witnessing the systemic racism embedded within the education system, unjust killings of Black people by police, and witnessing the growing presence of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, in her neighborhood, ignited her commitment to broader activism. Since returning to Atlanta, Jones has not only brought her experience to the social justice fights back home, she has also brought a lifelong love and care for the city and its inhabitants. "These are my people," she says. "This is where I'm from. My grandmother always taught me to fight and to stand up for people who don't have a voice. I grew up with a sense of, if you see something wrong, say something. I'm going to ring the alarm. That's precisely what Jones is doing. For me, it's never been a question of where I stand on Cop City, because it's just wrong, she says. It's oppressive. Even if people believe in law and order and believe that we need police, you don't need to build a massive facility that replaces 381 acres of forest land and a vital watershed in the heart of Southeast Atlanta, which is super black. You don't need to continue to perpetuate these instances of environmental racism. The 381 acres of unincorporated land in Atlanta's DeKalb County is part of what is now known as the South River Forest. It was previously the site of the old Atlanta prison farm, which was once a slave plantation. Prior to that, it was the Willamette Forest of the Muscogee Creek people. The South River Forest is referred to as one of the four lungs of Atlanta, meaning we literally need those trees to breathe, says Jones. Without those trees, what type of air are we breathing? Having someone like Jones on the forefront of this movement combats the idea that black people in the community support the facility. Something Jones explains is not true. In the midst of the protest against Cop City, police have referred to those who are vocal against the project as outside agitators, pushing a narrative Jones describes as familiar. She recalls moments in history like the civil rights movement when those in power used this narrative to undermine organizers. They call Dr. King an outside agitator, she points out. When you think about the narrative that has been carefully crafted and that the mainstream media here in Atlanta continues to propel, all you see is white people from out of state, and that's exactly what they want to promote. She goes on to explain that the diversity of the Stop Cop City movement shouldn't be overlooked, as it's a reflection of the intersectionality of human rights issues at hand. Climate change is real, she says. There are people who came into this movement simply because they want to save the trees. They are thinking about the fact that trees are vital. In addition to absorbing mass amounts of pollution, trees keep flooding at bay. A tree canopy is important because it mitigates global warming. But for the children growing up in the area, Jones emphasizes that there is and will be a sustained and more immediate impact. The Atlanta Police Department's firing range, which has been in the area for years, influenced her decision to move to Decatur, a city close to Atlanta, in May 2023. I have a 9-year-old whom I homeschool, and the gunfire from the range was just too much for us, she explains. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.